In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So this morning we're finishing the first part of our sermon series in the book of Acts. So our sermons or Acts are coming in 3 parts. So we've had part 1. We're going to have a little bit of a break over the summer and look at Luke chapter 9. And then we're back to Acts in September, I think it is. So if you've got your Bible open, please do leave it open at page 1098, or do get the passage up on your phone as we look together at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7 this morning. So despite facing persecution, the church in Jerusalem is growing, but now there's an internal complaint. Things not working as well as they should, competing and conflicting demands on resources within the church are not new challenges. So let's pray that God would speak to us as we look at this passage together this morning, that as we encounter not dissimilar challenges as individuals and as a church, we too would respond in a way that leads to many people coming to know Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, speak to us through your word, we pray, that in our decision making, as individuals and as a church community, our hearts would reflect your heart and our priorities your priorities, that you would be glorified and many would know life in your name. Amen. So rather conveniently, this doesn't happen very often, but it happened this week. The things in this passage which the Lord drew my attention to as I was preparing all begin with the letter P. So in case it helps to have an idea of where I'm going, we're going to start with the problem. So the P is problem, not the. The apostles' priority, their response to the problem in light of their priority, and its prayer, prompt, prayerful, and participative. And then keeping before us our purpose as a church and individuals. So they're kind of the headings: problem, priority, prompt, prayerful, participative, and purpose. That's where we're going this morning. So what's the problem? One of the ways the church lived out the good news of Jesus Christ was to provide for the widows within the church community. If you were a widow, you were particularly vulnerable. However, the number of disciples is increasing, and it would seem that there's perhaps not quite the infrastructure, the processes, the systems, the level of organisation to support the increasing size of the church in Jerusalem. The church is a diverse community with different languages, cultures, and traditions. And the Hellenistic Jews, who'd adopted the Greek language and culture, were complaining that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. That's verse one. And it's not, if we think about it, difficult to see how this could happen. When a church, or I think any organisation really, grows, it's easy for things to be missed or overlooked without good systems in place. And often unconsciously, those in leadership positions might prioritise people similar to themselves. This may or may not have been the case here, but it makes sense that you're more likely to attend to something, to notice something that affects you or people close to you than something that doesn't. So that's the problem. The Hellenistic Jews have complained to the apostles, the 12, that their widows are being overlooked in the distribution of food. So that's the first P, the problem. What's the solution then? Well, before they do anything else, the first thing the apostles do is share the problem. Verse 2, they gathered all the disciples together. And the problem is actually twofold. It's that the Hellenistic Jews have complained that their widows are being overlooked, so that's part of the problem. And also that it is not right for them, the apostles, to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So there are two dimensions to the problem. The widows being overlooked, and that it's not right for the apostles to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Now note, they don't say waiting on tables is not important. They say it's not right for them to neglect the ministry of the word of God. The apostles' primary calling, their priority, is to preach the word of God. It's important the apostles do this because the word of God is what gives life to individuals and to the church. The word of God is where we meet with Jesus. The word of God sustains and renews. If we want the church to be sustained and renewed, we need the word of God. So that's the apostles' priority. And I think it's worth us noticing just how clear they are about their calling and focused on the task the Lord has called them to, the ministry of the word of God, preaching the word of God. So that's the apostles' priority. That's the second P. But this doesn't mean that they don't do anything about the complaint they have received. Their response is prompt, prayerful, and participative. So prompt. Just because the distribution of food is not their calling doesn't mean it's not important. There's no sense in the passage that distributing food, waiting on tables, is beneath the apostles. It's simply that it's not what they are called to do. So their response is not our calling or not our priority, rather than not our problem. They still respond promptly. And their prompt response is not let's quickly put something in place that will do. It's a considered and prayerful response. So we're on to that. I think we're P number four now, prayerful. The distribution of food to the widows may not be the apostles' main priority, but it is still very much Christian ministry, service to God and his people. So it's important that those to whom this task will be delegated are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We're in verse 3. So, seven men are to be chosen by all the disciples. And we're told that Stephen was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And Nicholas from Antioch was a convert to Judaism. Verse 5. These are faith-filled, Spirit-filled men who are prayerfully commissioned to take on the responsibility of the daily distribution of food. The apostles prayed for them and laid hands on them. The choosing and commissioning of the seven men is not something which is done apart from God. It's something which is done under God. Prayer and spiritual discernment are central to the process. Sometimes gospel ministry, by which people tend to mean preaching and evangelism, is spoken about as something separate from pastoral ministry, by which people tend to mean caring for others. I would want to say that gospel ministry is pastoral ministry, and pastoral ministry is gospel ministry. Evangelist Glenn Scrivener expresses it along these lines. Evangelism is pastoring our non-Christian friends, pointing those that don't yet know Jesus to Jesus, and remember, life is found in Jesus. And pastoral care is evangelizing our Christian friends, pointing those who do know Jesus to Jesus, because life is found in Jesus. So there's not faith and worship on the one hand and work and serving on the other hand. The whole of our lives as Christians should be lived to the glory of God, declaring the love of Jesus in our words and our actions. And that's why we haven't had one for a little while, but we were having some This Time Tomorrow interviews in our Sunday services, recognizing that we're all called to live whole lives to the glory of God. So their response is prayerful, and their response is also participative. So it's prompt, it's prayerful, and it's participative. The church is growing. The apostles can't do everything that needs doing for themselves, and it's not right for them to try. For the church to be healthy, for the apostles to be able to give their attention to prayer and the ministry of the word, and all the widows to receive food, new leaders need to be raised up. And notice this proposal pleased the whole group. That's verse 5. All Christians are ministers. If you're a Christian, you're a minister. And all Christians are called to follow the example of Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve. The body of Christ and the ministry of Christ needs your unique contribution, your unique gifts and skills, personality and experience. So the apostles' response to the problem in light of their priority is prompt, it's prayerful, and it's participative. The result of the apostles being clear on their priority and responding to the complaint by prayerfully raising up new leaders is that the word of God spreads. Here in Acts chapter 6, prioritizing prayer and preaching the word of God leads to more disciples, which leads to more ministers. It is prayer and the word of God which sustains and renews our ministry as individuals and as a church. Growth comes when our caring and our serving, the fruits of our Christian faith, are nourished by prayer and the word of God, the roots of our Christian faith, when the main thing remains the main thing. When I was at university, the Bible verse on the Christian Union hoodies was from Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? I think you'd only really walk around with that on a hoodie at 18 years old. Although I think there's something for us to learn from that. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? We can see from the number of people who have millions of pounds yet struggle with addiction or poor well-being that it is possible to be materially satisfied, to have everything materially, and yet still to be hungry at a deeper level, still not to be fully satisfied. It is good to care for others, absolutely. We want to be known as Jesus' disciples by our gentleness and the love we have for one another. But the best thing we have to offer is Jesus himself, the only one who can truly satisfy. Let's not settle for the good and neglect the best. Life with Jesus, now and for all eternity. In our service last week, we were thinking about how we as individuals are sheep. Together, we're a flock, and Jesus is the good shepherd. In the reading we had from John's Gospel, John chapter 10, we heard that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I, that's Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I was in a meeting this week, and a colleague was reminding those of us in the meeting that whilst when you invite people to picture the devil, most of us, I suspect, think of some kind of red creature with horns. The enemy, the devil, is like a thief coming in disguise. And one of the main ways I think the enemy is at work is by distracting us from our purpose, from our priority task, sharing the life-transforming love of Christ. Let's not make doing good an end in itself and neglect to share the best thing we have, which the world so desperately needs. Life with Jesus, who saves us and heals us, now and for all eternity. As individuals, in the face of competing and conflicting demands and a world full of distractions, and probably our biggest distraction is this, yeah? Let's keep before us the purpose for which we were made, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To take the words of St. Augustine, you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in ye. As a church, when it feels like the harvest is plentiful and the resources are few, let's not allow prayer and worship and God's word to get crowded out. Or let's not attempt to make church less churchy by neglecting those things because we think church will be more attractive then. Because it's the word of God which sustains and renews. So let's keep before us our purpose, retaining the distinctiveness that comes from being in Christ. Let's prioritize being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and preaching the word in season and out of season, remembering how the apostles were sure of their priority task, and from being sure of their priority task, the word of God spread. And it was the word of God that spread rather than there were more people in church on a Sunday. The word of God spread. So I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to use the words of our next song. And I wonder if I, sorry, Leslie, I should have asked you this. I wonder if as I pray, you would be okay to start playing. I'll read through the words and then we'll sing together. The song is Speak, O Lord. So I'll read through the verses as a prayer and then we'll stand and we'll sing together. So speak, O Lord, as we come to ye to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us. Shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and in our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise. Cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail. Let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.